The reading in the Bibles is page 965. 965, Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Do sit down, and it would be enormous help if you could turn back to Matthew chapter 1. It's page 966 is the bit we'll mostly be looking at. And I should just say, it will get warmer. Apparently the heating came on a little bit later than they were really planning on putting the heating on. It's not normally as cold as this on a Sunday afternoon, but the heating is on, and it will get warmer. Well, before we look at these verses again, let's pray and let's ask for the Lord's help. Our Father, as we look at verses in the Bible we've read so many times, please speak to us afresh. And if we have grown cool towards the events of that first Christmas, please show us something about the Lord Jesus that would warm our hearts and remind us why he is the best present we could ever be given. Amen. I've actually brought some of my presents with me, so I'm pretty excited. And I think what I'd love is for you to sort of help me work out what some of them are. Here's quite a heavy one, quite a solid sort of one. Anyone reckon they know what this might be? Anyone have a stab? A toiletries, possibly. Someone saying a book here. Yeah, over the years, I've enjoyed the books by a historian called Dermot McCulloch, and his latest one is on the history of Christianity, and I've been pretty much sort of angling for it, dropping heavy hints that, you know, if you were thinking of getting me a present, then, well, there is a particular book that I would be quite interested in. And I wouldn't surprise me, because I know that it's quite a heavy book, and I know it's quite a fat book. It wouldn't surprise me if this were Dermot McCulloch's History of Christianity. Let's see what it is. Definitely not toiletries. Yes, well, see, look, I was spot on. See, there it is. Whoop, there it is. It looked like a history book. It felt like a history book. It was a history book. To be honest, it wasn't a huge surprise, and I can sense by the sort of general feeling of people being underwhelmed that it's not hugely exciting, but it was just what I was hoping for. Did anyone get a present that was just what they were hoping for? You got a chocolate penny, which was just what you were hoping for. Brilliant. No one else got anything they were hoping for. Some slippers. You were hoping for, you're like me, aren't you? You're hoping for quite sort of dull presents, but good, but you're pleased you got it. Slippers. Anyone not had their presents yet who's really hoping for something? What are you really hoping for? A nice book, okay, right. Note to us quickly, nice book for anyone else really hoping for something? Oh. Because you should speak to Tom. because I think he'll be able to help you out. We fit. Dot, dot, dot. Anyway, God's present to his people was just what they were hoping for. Have a look at verse 22 from our reading. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. In other words, Jesus didn't come as a big surprise. Hundreds of years before, God had said, I'm going to send a baby. It's a bit like in Narnia. Who's read The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, or seen the film of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe? Do you remember, in Narnia, it's always winter, but never Christmas. And as we all know, snow is a lot of fun at first, but then life in Narnia became very cold and very frosty and very cruel. But there was an ancient Narnian prophecy, do you remember, that said one day someone would come, and when he came, the snow would melt and it would be spring again. And so the Narnians, all the creatures in Narnia, waited and waited. They were hoping for this person to come. And hundreds of years before Jesus was born, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah. And to our cruel and pretty frosty world, he said, I'm going to send a child. And when he comes, the snow will melt. This son will get rid of all the bad things and all the sad things. And he will come and he will put all things back together again and make the whole world new. And the Lord said through this child, he would comfort his people. And so God's people waited and they waited. And then one night in a stable in Bethlehem, he came. He wasn't a total surprise. He didn't come out the blue. He was just what they were hoping for. And what that means is this morning, we're not celebrating a kind of random event in an obscure little village in Palestine that happened sort of nearly 2,000 years ago. We're celebrating the fact that God keeps his promises. He said he would send a child, and he did. Now we're not particularly first century Jews still waiting for the baby to be born, but there is a sense in which, like them, we are waiting. We're hoping for something, for someone. We think, you know, if I just if I changed my job, if I dyed my hair, if I got a wee fit, If I took up golf, or perhaps if I moved house, or made new friends, or if I met someone, then everything would be better. But, you know, I often talk with people who've achieved everything they ever wanted to achieve. They've got the job they wanted, the family they love, the house of their dreams. And they say, I have everything I always wanted, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I'm still waiting, longing for someone who will come and make sense of my life. And what Christmas says is, here he is. Here is the one you've been waiting for. Here is the one who will really bring comfort to your heart. Now, maybe we're a little disappointed because we waited years and years for God to come and make things better. And what does he do? He gives us a baby. I mean, there's nothing wrong with babies. We all quite like babies. But, you know, is that all God can come up with? A baby? Doesn't God watch the news? I mean, doesn't God know what is going on in my life? He gives me a baby. How is a baby going to get rid of all the sad things and all the bad things? I got another present here. Anyone guess what this might be? Toiletries. Very large toothbrush. And a very large loofah. Yes, anyone have any other guesses what that might be? Wine gums, or a draft excluder. Yes, I'll tell you, I'm not quite sure what this is. I'm a bit puzzled, because as you may have picked up if you've been here more than a couple of times, I have a passing interest in fishing, and mostly fly fishing, but I'm quite keen to branch out into sea fishing and do a little bit of light spinning off the rocks, pick up a couple of bass, that kind of thing. And what I really wanted was a spinning rod, but spinning rod, the one I'm really got in mind is 9 feet long. So I don't think this is really a spinning rod. It just seems too short to be a spinning rod. So I'm not quite sure what the deal is. Let's have a look. Specialist. It is a piece of fishing tackle. Look at this. Look at this. Look. Do you know what this is? This is brilliant. Because this is not just, this is not just a 9-foot spinning rod. It's a telescopic spinning rod. A travel rod, which means in the event of any fishing emergencies, you can just have this in the back of the car ready to go. So this is absolute. Look at the balance in that. That is just gorgeous, isn't it? So that is not just any old 9-foot spinning rod. That is a travel rod. And can I say that is better than I expected? That is, if you're me, that is on the money. And did anyone get a present that was better than they ever imagined? Anyone get one for Christmas that was better than they expected?
Jack, what did you get?
Wii Fit, yes. I keep forgetting. Wow, you got a Wii Fit. Brilliant. Did anyone else get one that was better than they expected? So it's lucky me and lucky Jack and Tom, and actually it's lucky all of us. Because we all got a present better than we could ever imagine. Because Jesus is better than we could ever imagine. Because look at verse 23. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. Oh, well, that's okay, isn't it? A baby. Well, that's all right. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Do you see? It turns out this is not just another baby. This is not an ordinary baby. This baby's called Emmanuel. God with us. This little baby lying in the straw is God come to be with us. And that is wonderful because no ordinary baby could ever put right the mess our world is in. Because we're all up to our eyebrows in the mess. So there's no way any of us can sort it out. It's like you and I have both fallen down the same hole. And I can't help you and you can't help me. What we need is someone from outside the hole to drop a rope down. And the Bible says the whole of humankind is kind of stuck down the same hole. And there's no philosopher and no poet and no religious teacher who can get us out. But when we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, we're not celebrating another religious leader come to kind of throw in his penny worth of ideas about how we might climb out of the hole. We're celebrating the fact that someone from the outside has come in to get us out. There came a moment in history when God, the God who made the world, stepped into it. And this is better than we're expecting, because when your iPhone or your Wii Fit is broken, you need to get it back to the people who made it, because they can fix it. And when we look at our broken world, the only person who can fix it is the person who made it. And here he is. That baby is the God who made the world. And he's come to fix his world. Think of the miracles that he did. We looked at through most of last term. The sick people he cured. The lame people. The blind who could see again, the people who couldn't walk, who got up and walked, the people who hated each other, who became friends, people who were really greedy became kind. In Narnia, do you remember what was the clue that Aslan was on the move? Do you remember? What was the clue? Do you remember? The snow was melting, that's right. And Jesus says to his followers, he says, look, do you see what I'm doing? All these miracles, I'm fixing a broken world. So snow is melting. Spring is on its way. He's not yet finished, but one day he will come again and finish what he started, and he will drive away all the last bits of frost, and he will wipe away every last tear. But the reason we celebrate Christmas is because the fact that he came means there's no going back. God's plan for this world is on track. His coming is like the first crocuses of the year. You know, there might be chilly days ahead, but when you see the crocuses, you know it won't be winter forever. The spring is coming. And Christmas says, in God's big plan for his world, spring is coming. There is hope for the future of our world. So God's present is just what we were hoping for. It's better than we could ever have imagined. Travel. Because God himself has come for us. And that brings us to our final present. And I've really got no idea about this. It would be good if it were shoes. Whoa. Hey, I think you're onto something. Black boots are just what I need. Because it's freezing in here. And you should have seen me skidding through the snow all the way here in my socks. And when God gave us his son, he gave us something that was just what we need. Look at verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Jesus means savior or rescuer, like when a fire engine comes to rescue you when your house is burning down. And I don't know what you need, Phil, you need rescuing from. Perhaps who feels they need rescuing from the prospect of having to eat Brussels sprouts this afternoon? Maybe one or two people feeling that. It could be that you need rescuing from your little sister who keeps, probably playing on your Wii Fit. Where's the emphasis? It might be you feel you'd rescuing from a mountain of washing up that you're going to face later on. It might be you feel you need rescuing from the pressure of the work that you're going to have to go back to after Christmas. Well, this rescuer has come to rescue us from something much worse than all those things. Do you see verse 21? Given the name Jesus, rescuer, because he will save or rescue his people from their sins. Now, in our day, the whole idea of sin is just kind of a joke. It's kind of a snigger word. But sin is no joke. The reason our world is so frosty, so cruel, is because of sin. Well, why is Christmas with the family? You know, the people we love the most, so often a time of tension. Why is that the time of year when the Relate counselling service is overwhelmed with phone calls? It's because everyone's playing the same game. Everyone's playing at being God. And that's what sin is. It's when we push God out the picture and we say, I don't want God being God over my life. I just want to go my way and do my own thing. So this afternoon, you know, if I'm playing God and cousin Eric is playing God, which one of us gets to be God? Which one of us gets our way? He wants his way. I want my way. So we fight for it. We clash at the dinner table and Christmas is ruined and a family's torn in two. Sin is no joke. It leads to fighting over what we want to watch over TV. Fighting over strips of land in the Middle East. It is no joke. And the Bible says we are at war with one another, fundamentally because we're at war with God. That's why it's so cold and cruel in our world. And the point is, in the world made new, there'll be no cruelty and no coldness. So for as long as we are at war with God, there's no place for people like us in a world made new. We're just stuck in endless winter with no prospect of spring. But Jesus came to rescue us from endless winter because he came to make us friends with God again. And we say, well, how does a little baby do that? At Christmas, we tend to think of Jesus as the baby Jesus lying in a manger. But the baby didn't stay a baby. Think of Richard here. Richard was once a baby. But he didn't stay a baby. I mean, you wouldn't go up to him now and sort of tickle him under the chin and coo at him and make little faces at him and cradle him in your arms. He grew up. And Jesus didn't stay a baby. And we're not to tickle him under the chin and cradle him in our arms over Christmas as though he needs us to look after him, poor little mite. He grew up. And it turns out he came to look after us, to rescue us, in fact. And he said he'd come to rescue us by dying on a cross. Do you remember in Narnia how Aslan rescued Edmund? Do you remember Edmund wanted nothing to do with Aslan? He really belonged to the wicked witch, which meant Edmund was going to have to die. And do you remember how Aslan rescued him, what he did to rescue him from death? Aslan handed himself over to die. The innocent Aslan died in place of the guilty Edmund. And Aslan's death meant Edmund could have a future and be part of the new Narnia. It's not a perfect picture of Jesus' death, but the bit that's the same is that Aslan was Edmund's saviour. And he rescued him by dying for him. And Jesus is our saviour. And he rescued us by dying for us. So on the cross, the Son of God died, the innocent in place of the guilty. And that's how he set us free to be part of his new world. And that's why Jesus is just what we need. There's nothing we need more, in fact. So this Christmas, I could get the Wii Fit of my dreams, or an iPhone, or a go-go hamster, or a pair of slippers, or the pair of socks that I've been longing for. I could have job security. I could have a very happy family, a hat full of friends, a big house, a prospect of holidays. But if I've not been saved from my sins, then my life will always be winter with no real prospect of spring. I'll always be at war with God. And there'll be no hope of being part of the new world that he's going to bring. He longs for us to be friends with him. He longs for us to be part of his new world. And he tells us how much he longs for us by the fact that he doesn't just give up a few pairs of old socks for us or even a wee fit. He gave his most precious possession. He gave us his son. That's how much he wants us to be part of his world made new. And it seems to be many people have opened about 100 presents over years of Christmases, but they've never really opened up the best present of all. They've just left it under the tree. They've left it in the little nativity scene. Well, if that's you, this Christmas would be a great Christmas to open up the best present you could ever have. It's just what we were hoping for. God kept his promise. It was better than we could ever have imagined. God himself has come for us. And it's just what we need. A saviour to save us from sin. To give us a friendship with God that starts to melt the snow now and lasts for an endless summer in a world made new. It's a great present to get. Let's pray together as we sit. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank you that in your love for us, you took what was most precious to you, your own dear son, and you gave him to us. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that in your love for us, you came to save us, even though it cost you everything. And we pray this Christmas that you would show us again how to receive you, the best present in all the world. Amen. We're going to sing again. And it's a reminder that Jesus is the one we've been waiting for. And That's why news of Jesus, tidings of Jesus, are tidings of comfort and joy. Let's stand to celebrate.